Greetings, family. Welcome to today's podcast. Today we'll be reading April the 10th, Feed on the Word. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being our daddy. Thank you for fixing us up. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your love to us, your grace and your mercy. Thank you for what Jesus has brought to us, Lord. He has brought to us love and grace. And we receive that love. We receive that grace. Thank you, Father, that we can receive your love, that we can receive your grace through the works of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we believe, we believe, we believe, we believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for today's session. Thank you for your presence. We ask you for you to be in the midst of us, Lord, to encourage us, to help us, and let us open our hearts, our minds, and our souls. May the word do what it says it'll do, Lord. We just praise you. We lift up this word to you, this Bible study, Lord God, that it will have your approval. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify your holy name. Praise the Father. Praise the Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We are in it. In the body of Christ, and we rejoice in our position. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and all of God's people say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Welcome again. I hope you're in pleasant, good spirits. All is well. If it isn't well, say all is well anyway. We can change with the tone of our voice the situations. Proverbs 4:20-21 says, attend to my words, incline your ears unto my sayings, let them not depart from my eyes. Attend to my words, incline, lean forward your ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Amen. Topic today, feed on the word. Once you made the Word of God final authority in your life, your first step to victory over the attacks of the enemy is to go to the Word and lay hold of God's promises concerning your situation. All right, let's go ahead and lay hold. Let's make that final authority, that choice. Lord, we choose your Word as our final authority of the situation here in life. Thank you for putting us in a corner, Lord, that we don't have anything but to take a scripture and write it down for 2 hours and to fight back, Lord God, with your word. And that's what you've given us to do, the sword of the Spirit, and we are in training. We accept the victory that's in your word, Father, to deal with today's circumstance and help bodily, mentally, financially, socially, happily, for happiness, Lord, and for ministry, for influencing others and helping others, Lord. Lord, we make that quality decision right now in front of everybody that we will live by your word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And all of God says, yes, amen and amen. Yes, 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 folks. Now that we made the word of God a final authority in our lives, our first step to get more victory over the attacks of the enemy is to go to the Word and lay hold of God's promises concerning our situation. Notice I said, go to the Word. It's good to have the Word committed to memory, but don't let that substitute for getting the Word before you, before your eyes on a daily basis. Something has to do with that printed material that those words jump out and they become alive easier, faster then remembering them, but I don't know. Let's try it. Think about it this way. It never did a hungry person any good to think about what a potato tastes like. Huh. Scalloped potatoes, people. Potato soup. Not even if he could remember it perfectly. The same thing is true with the Word of God. It's important to keep it in memory, but it's also necessary to go directly to it and feed your spirit with it. There is power in keeping the word in front of your eyes, in front of my eyes, and going into our ears. That's how it gets into our hearts so we can live by it, by repeating it and saying it. Again, there's incredible power in keeping the word when you tap into it and you get a mother load out of it. But it's also necessary to go directly to it and feed our spirits with it. There is power in keeping the word in front of our eyes and going into our ears. That's how it gets into our hearts so we can live by it. When I read something like this, I feel like plastering my ceiling. The walls are already plastered. So, with the Word of God. So don't just think about the Word today. Read it. Go to the promises that cover your situation. Feed on those promises and grow strong. Deuteronomy 6:1-9. The other day, someone was visiting and they asked me about some of the scripture I had hanging there. And I had one from the Message Bible that said, if the job is too hard for you and you absolutely can't do it, and you know that only God can do it and you turn it over, that's the kind of faith that works with God. I said, wow, that was a tremendous. Can you hear? Did you hear what I said? That's like way out there, those kind of scriptures. I have some in my dryer, on the front of the dryer. When I'm there looking at the dryer, I'm staring. I have scripture in the cupboards. When I open there, I have time to meditate. When I go for my coffee, I have my granddaughter's quick sketch of Isaiah 45:22 or something, 41:10. I am with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I have you with my right hand. Just a beautiful scripture. And you can hardly make out what it says, but I know what it says. And it just, I have to have effort to read it. So I get a double help. I got scripture in my stove. You know, I'm not trying to be a super dynamo, but you have 2 or 3 seconds. And that makes life and death right there to read the scripture. Got it in the toilet, in front of you, in back of you, around you. So don't just think about the word today. Let's read it. Let's go to the promises that cover our situation. Feed on those promises and grow strong. You know, from the many years that I've been in the Word of God, there's only a few books, maybe 3, that God has shown me, you know, in my dreams. There was a lady, I sold her some old iron furniture, and I took it to her. And I got there, and I go, I thought you were black. And she goes, and I thought you were white. And we laugh and laugh, and she works as a hospice. And I go, no, I'm Mexican. And we just got along really well. And she started showing me all her work that she's doing in her art and so forth. And later on, I had a dream that she was asking me in my dream, are you still reading this Bible? And I remember that Bible. It was like a New Living Testament. And it was battered up. And I think it belonged to my wife. And half of it is here and half of it is somewhere else. And someday I'm going to paste it back together. But I have a newer one now. I was given one. All right, enough of me. Deuteronomy 6:1-9. The other book, my point was, God showed me another book too, the Promises books. You know, Promises for Your Everyday Life by Gill, G-I-L-L. Those are really good too. It categorized for your every need. And those are the ones that you can record them on your phones and say them out loud. And then when you're going to sleep, say them again. Just go on a diet of fighting back with those scriptures with your phone, with today's technology. And you know how I do it. I'll read a scripture. Like, for instance, let's read a scripture. Let's say this. I attend to the words of God. Say that. I listen dearly unto the sayings. I let them not depart from my eyes. Proverbs 4:20-21. I attend to the words of God. I incline my ear to his sayings. I let them not depart from my eyes. All right, the reading for today, we found it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, a call for wholehearted commitment. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, says Moses. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must use only his name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we're worshiping and singing songs unto the Lord. We can easily stay in love with him. And as Jesus said, the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus has given us the truth. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. Let's do this thing. Easy as playing some music on the background and singing our favorite hymns and causing our love to overflow. And songs that have scripture built in them, easy as can be, folks. We can do this. Our next reading is for April 11th. It's not over till it's over. These are articles by Gloria Kenneth Copeland. Scripture for today is 1 Peter 5, 9 and 10 from the Amplified Bible. It says, withstand the devil, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. That's how we have the word in our hearts. We have it ready. We have it written all over. We know what to say. What's the first line of defense, folks? Can anybody tell me out there, since you've been learning in this Bible college curriculum? Can I have the students say, what's the first line of defense? Whatever happens, praise the Lord. Say, thank you, God. And if you mess up, if I mess up, I say, thank you, God, I'm a misfit. Thank you, God, I'm a misfit. I open the channel to God's love and grace as soon as the circumstance doesn't go my way. I acknowledge the Lord God. When it's not my fault, when I get offended, when I get hit, when I get, you know, any situation. Amen. Or if someone else is doing, if my doing, continually hit the heavens with, I thank you, God, for this situation. I thank you, God, for my life just the way it is. I thank you, God, I'm a misfit. I thank you, God, for these people. Whatever it is, our defense is the Word of God. And then we bring out scriptures. Then we start thinking about scriptures. Okay, so because determined, knowing the same identical sufferings are happening all around the world to our brothers, the body of Christ, throughout the world. And after we have experienced and understood, in other words, suffered a little while, we have understanding in how to work this. The God of grace, all grace, with himself. Okay, all grace. We're standing on some grace. When we weren't born again, we were falling on grace. Now we understand grace. The God of all grace will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, full of grace. Be established and grounded securely and strengthened and settled in you. In other words, himself will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, established and grounded, secure, strengthened, and settled in you. Amen. 1 Peter 5, 9 and 10, the Amplified Bible. No matter how long you've been living by faith, no matter how much you learn about it, every once in a while you're going to suffer a setback. You're going to run into some circumstance that just don't turn out the way you expect them to. When that happens, remember this, those setbacks are just temporary. You may have lost a battle, but you're not going to lose the war. Just get up and go at it again. But I don't understand. I don't understand, you say. I did the best I could. I walked in all the truth I knew to walk in. Why didn't I get the victory? Because there was something you didn't know. It shouldn't shock you too much that there are things you don't know about the realm of the Spirit. We have been in this ministry since 1967. We spent untold hours in the Word. Yet it seems like the more we learn, the more we realize we don't know. So when we get to a situation where we can't seem to get victory, we have to ask God for more wisdom. If you look in 2 Samuel 21, you can see a time when King David had to do that. His country had been suffering for a famine for 3 years, and David just didn't understand it. So he inquired of the Lord. You know what the Lord told him? He told him the famine had come because of something Saul had done. Isn't that amazing? Saul had been dead for years, yet what he put in motion in the realm of the Spirit was still affecting his country. David could have just given up when his usual confession of faith and ways of praying didn't drive out that famine, but he didn't. He inquired of God for more wisdom. He used his temporary setback to cause him to seek more knowledge from God. Follow his example. Overcome the habit of quitting because of temporary setbacks. Refuse to let them knock you out of the game. After all this sting, not over till it's over. After all, these things are not over till they're over. And the Bible says, when it's all over, you'll have won. You'll win. So just be steadfast in your faith. In the end, your victory is guaranteed. Amen. Reading 2 Samuel 21, 1 through 6 says, there was a famine during David's reign that lasted for 3 years. So David asked the Lord about it, and the Lord said, the famine has come because Saul and his family are guilty of murdering the Gibeonites. So the king summoned the Gibeonites. They were not part of Israel, but were all that was left of the nation of the Amorites. The people of Israel had sworn not to kill them, but Saul and his seal for Israel and Judah had tried to wipe them out. David asked him, what can I do for you? How can I make amends so that you will bless the Lord's people again? Incredible. They can bless the Lord's people again. Well, money can't settle this matter between us and the family of Saul, the Gibeonites replied. Neither can we demand the life of anyone in Israel. What can I do then? David asked. Just tell me and I will do it for you. Then they replied, it was Saul who planned to destroy us to keep us from having any place at all in the territory of Israel. So let 7 of Saul's sons be handed over to us, and we will execute them before the Lord at Gibeon on the mountain of the Lord. All right, said King, I will do it. The king spared Jonathan's son Mephibosheth, who was Saul's grandson, because of the oath David and Jonathan had sworn before the Lord. Amen. All right, let's go ahead. I thank God for worshiping him and waiting on the Lord. It's kind of interesting how when productivity is stopped, you know, especially when Jeremiah 29:11, I was reading it this morning, and it says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future, plans to give you hope and peace. And so we can inquire of the Lord, Lord, what is stopping this scripture? And then the Lord told me, you need to believe it for right now. In other words, believe it as present tense, that today, this 24 hours, I'm going to have peace, I'm going to have prosperity, I'm going to have joy, and that's the start. Need to believe things. Is it the future? It could be, and I go, wow, I'll have to read it in the Greek or in the Hebrew or the Arabic. Maybe it's translated a little different. Anyway, that's just a side note in there that we take a scripture and we go to God and ask Him, what's up? Why are we, our progress is stopped. We praise Him and we thank Him and spend time with Him. It shouldn't be take rocket sciences. Thank you so much for being here. God love you. God bless you. Give Him heaven. Let's go ahead and pray out with the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Keep coming back. It's working. Greetings, family. Welcome to today's podcast. Today we'll be reading April the 10th, Feed on the Word. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being our daddy. Thank you for fixing us up. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your love to us, your grace and your mercy. Thank you for what Jesus has brought to us, Lord. He has brought to us love and grace. And we receive that love. We receive that grace. Thank you, Father, that we can receive your love, that we can receive your grace through the works of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we believe, we believe, we believe, we believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for today's session. Thank you for your presence. We ask you for you to be in the midst of us, Lord, to encourage us, to help us, and let us open our hearts, our minds, and our souls. May the word do what it says it'll do, Lord. We just praise you. We lift up this word to you, this Bible study, Lord God, that it will have your approval. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify your holy name. Praise the Father. Praise the Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We are in it, in the body of Christ, and we rejoice in our position. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and all of God's people say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Welcome again. I hope you're in pleasant, good spirits. All is well. If it isn't well, say all is well anyway. We can change with the tone of our voice the situations. Proverbs 4:20-21 says, attend to my words, incline your ears unto my sayings, let them not depart from my eyes. Attend to my words, incline, lean forward, your ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Amen. Topic today, feed on the word. Once you made the word of God final authority in your life, your first step to victory over the attacks of the enemy is to go to the word and lay hold of God's promises concerning your situation. All right, let's go ahead and lay hold. Let's make that final authority, that choice. Lord, we choose your word as our final authority of the situation here in life. Thank you for putting us in a corner, Lord, that we don't have anything but to take a scripture and write it down for 2 hours and to fight back, Lord God, with your word. And that's what you've given us to do, the sword of the Spirit, and we are in training. We accept the victory that's in your word, Father, to deal with today's circumstance and help bodily, mentally, financially, socially, happily, for happiness, Lord, and for ministry, for influencing others and helping others, Lord. Lord, we make that quality decision right now in front of everybody that we will live by your word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And all of God says, yes, amen and amen. Yes, 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 folks. Now that we made the word of God a final authority in our lives, our first step to get more victory over the attacks of the enemy is to go to the word and lay hold of God's promises concerning our situation. Notice I said, go to the word. It's good to have the word committed to memory, but don't let that substitute for getting the word before you, before your eyes on a daily basis. Something has to do with that printed material that those words jump out and they become alive easier, faster than remembering them. But I don't know. Let's try it. Think about it this way. It never did a hungry person any good to think about what a potato tastes like. Huh. Scallop potatoes, people. Potato soup. Not even if he could remember it perfectly. The same thing is true with the Word of God. It's important to keep it in memory, but it's also necessary to go directly to it and feed your spirit with it. There is power in keeping the Word in front of your eyes, in front of my eyes, and going into our ears. That's how it gets into our hearts so we can live by it, by repeating it and saying it. Again, there's incredible power in keeping the Word. When you tap into it and you get a mother load out of it. But it's also necessary to go directly to it and feed our spirits with it. There is power in keeping the word in front of our eyes and going into our ears. That's how it gets into our hearts so we can live by it. When I read something like this, I feel like plastering my ceiling. The walls are already plastered. So, with the Word of God. So, don't just think about the Word today. Read it. Go to the promises that cover your situation. Feed on those promises and grow strong. Deuteronomy 6:19. The other day, someone was visiting and they asked me about some of the scripture I had hanging there. And I had one from the Message Bible. It says, that said, if the job is too hard for you and you absolutely can't do it and you know that only God can do it and you turn it over, that's the kind of faith that works with God. I said, wow, that was a tremendous... Can you hear? Did you hear what I said? That's like way out there, those kind of scriptures. I have some in my dryer, on the front of the dryer. When I'm there looking at the dryer, I'm staring. I have... scripture in the cupboards. When I open there, I have time to meditate. When I go for my coffee, I have my granddaughter's quick sketch of Isaiah 45:22 or something, 41:10. I am with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I have you with my right hand. Just a beautiful scripture. And you can hardly make out what it says, but I know what it says. And it just, I have to have effort to read it. So I get a double help. I got scripture in my stove. You know, I'm not trying to be a super dynamo, but you have 2 or 3 seconds. And that makes life and death right there to read the scripture. Got it in the toilet, in front of you, in back of you, around you. So don't just think about the word today. Let's read it. Let's go to the promises that cover our situation. Feed on those promises and grow strong. You know, from the many years that I've been in the Word of God, there's only a few books, maybe 3, that God has shown me, you know, in my dreams. There was a lady, I sold her some old iron furniture, and I took it to her, and I got there, and I go, I thought you were black. And she goes, and I thought you were white. And we laugh and laugh, and she works as a hospice. And I go, no, I'm Mexican. And we just got along really well. And she started showing me all her work that she's doing and her art and so forth. And Later on, I had a dream that she was asking me in my dream, "Are you still reading this Bible?" And I remember that Bible, it was like a New Living Testament, and it was battered up, and I think it belonged to my wife, and it was, half of it is here, and half of it is somewhere else, and someday I'm going to paste it back together. But I have a newer one now. I was given one. All right, enough of me. Deuteronomy 6:19. The other book, my point was, God showed me another book too, the Promises books. You know, Promises for Your Everyday Life by Gill, G-I-L-L. Those are really good too. It categorized for your every need. And those are the ones that you can record them on your phones and say them out loud. And then when you're going to sleep, say them again. Just go on a diet of fighting back with those scriptures with your phone, with today's technology. And you know how I do it. I'll read a scripture. Like, for instance, let's read a scripture. Let's say this. I attend to the words of God. Say that. I listen dearly unto the sayings. I let them not depart from my eyes. Proverbs 4:20-21. I attend to the words of God. I incline my ear to his sayings. I let them not depart from my eyes. All right, the reading for today, we found it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, a call for wholehearted commitment. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, says Moses. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must use only his name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we're worshiping and singing songs unto the Lord. We can easily stay in love with him. And as Jesus said, the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus has given us the truth. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. Let's do this thing easy as playing some music on the background and singing our favorite hymns and causing our love to overflow. And songs that have scripture built in them, easy as can be, folks. We can do this. Our next reading is for April 11. It's not over till it's over. These are articles by Gloria Kenneth Copeland. Scripture for today is 1 Peter 5:9-10 from the Amplified Bible. It says, withstand the devil, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. That's how we have the word in our hearts. We have it ready. We have it written all over. We know what to say. What's the first line of defense, folks? Can anybody tell me out there, since you've been learning in this Bible college curriculum? Can I have the students say, what's the first line of defense? Whatever happens, praise the Lord. Say, thank you, God. And if you mess up, if I mess up, I say, thank you, God, I'm a misfit. Thank you, God, I'm a misfit. I open the channel to God's love and grace as soon as the circumstance doesn't go my way. I acknowledge the Lord God when it's not my fault, when I get offended, when I get hit, when I get, you know, any situation. Amen. Or if someone else is doing, if my doing, continually hit the heavens with, I thank you, God, for this situation. I thank you, God, for my life just the way it is. I thank you, God, I'm a misfit. I thank you, God, for these people. Whatever it is, our defense is the Word of God. And then we bring out scriptures. Then we start thinking about scriptures. Okay, so because determined, knowing the same identical sufferings are happening all around the world to our brothers, the body of Christ, throughout the world. And after we have experienced and understood, in other words, suffered a little while, we have understanding in how to work this. The God of grace, all grace, with himself. Okay, all grace. We're standing on some grace. When we weren't born again, we were falling on grace. Now we understand grace. The God of all grace will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, full of grace. Be established and grounded securely and strengthened and settled in you. In other words, himself will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, established and grounded, secure, strengthened, and settled in you. Amen. 1 Peter 5, 9 and 10, the Amplified Bible. No matter how long you've been living by faith, no matter how much you learn about it, every once in a while you're going to suffer a setback. You're going to run into some circumstance that just don't turn out the way you expect them to. When that happens, remember this. Those setbacks are just temporary. You may have lost a battle, but you're not going to lose the war. Just get up and go at it again. But I don't understand. I don't understand, you say. I did the best I could. I walked in all the truth I knew to walk in. Why didn't I get the victory? Because there was something you didn't know. It shouldn't shock you too much that there are things you don't know about the realm of the Spirit. We have been in this ministry since 1967. We spent untold hours in the Word. Yet it seems like the more we learn, the more we realize we don't know. So when we get to a situation where we can't seem to get victory, we have to ask God for more wisdom. If you look in 2 Samuel 21, you can see a time when King David had to do that. His country had been suffering for a famine for 3 years, and David just didn't understand it. So he inquired of the Lord. You know what the Lord told him? He told him the famine had come because of something Saul had done. Isn't that amazing? Saul had been dead for years, yet what he put in motion in the realm of the Spirit was still affecting his country. David could have just given up when his usual confession of faith and ways of praying didn't drive out that famine. But he didn't. He inquired of God for more wisdom. He used his temporary setback to cause him to seek more knowledge from God. Follow his example. Overcome the habit of quitting because of temporary setbacks. Refuse to let them knock you out of the game. After all this thing, not over till it's over. After all, these things are not over till they're over. And the Bible says, when it's all over, you'll have won. You'll win. So just be steadfast in your faith In the end, your victory is guaranteed. Amen. Reading 2 Samuel 21, 1 through 6 says, "There was a famine during David's reign that lasted for 3 years. So David asked the Lord about it, and the Lord said, 'The famine has come because Saul and his family are guilty of murdering the Gibeonites.' So the king summoned the Gibeonites. They were not part of Israel, but were all that was left of the nation of the Amorites. The people of Israel had sworn not to kill them, but Saul and his seal for Israel and Judah had tried to wipe them out. David asked him, 'What can I do for you? How can I make amends so that you will bless the Lord's people again?'" Incredible. They can bless the Lord's people again. "Well, money can't settle this matter between us and the family of Saul," the Gibeonites replied. "Neither can we demand the life of anyone in Israel." "What can I do then?" David asked. "Just tell me and I will do it for you." Then they replied, "It was Saul who planned to destroy us to keep us from having any place at all in the territory of Israel. So let 7 of Saul's sons be handed over to us, and we will execute them before the Lord at Gibeon on the mountain of the Lord." "All right," said king, "I will do it." The king spared Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who was Saul's grandson, because of the oath David and Jonathan had sworn before the Lord. Amen. All right, let's go ahead. I thank God for worshiping him and waiting on the Lord. It's kind of interesting how when productivity is stopped, you know, especially when Jeremiah 29:11, I was reading it this morning, and it says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future, plans to give you hope and peace." And so we can inquire of the Lord, "Lord, what is stopping this scripture?" And then the Lord told me, you need to believe it for right now. In other words, believe it as present tense, that today, this 24 hours, I'm going to have peace, I'm going to have prosperity, I'm going to have joy, and that's the start. You need to believe things. Is it the future? It could be, and I go, wow, I'll have to read it in the Greek or in the Hebrew or the Arabic. Maybe it's translated a little different. Anyway, that's just a side note. In there that we take a scripture and we go to God and ask him, "What's up? Why are we, as our progress is stopped?" We praise him and we thank him and spend time with him. It shouldn't be take rocket sciences. Thank you so much for being here. God love you. God bless you. Give him heaven. Let's go ahead and pray out with the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Keep coming back. It's working.